Amen. Father, we come before you tonight and we are so thankful for the opportunity that we have right now to get into your word. And I pray that you would just speak to our hearts, that you would captivate us, Lord. And that tonight we would see, Lord, the beauty of how not only you will meet us right where we're at, but Lord, your desire is to lead us and show us what you would desire of our life. And so we look to you. God, minister to our hearts tonight. Holy Spirit, come into this place. Pour out upon our hearts, Lord, more of you. May your sweet spirit, Lord, give us ears to hear tonight, hearts to receive, and empowering us to live out your very word. So God, we thank you for this time now. Just come, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good evening, everybody. Why don't you greet one another before you have a seat? Say hello to somebody. Well, tonight we're going to continue in our study in the book of Exodus. So if you have your Bible, please turn to chapter 3. And if you do not have one, we got a couple of ushers here tonight. They would love to get a Bible in your hand so you can follow along. All you need to do is raise your hand up so you can follow along with us. Right off to my, there you go. And if you do not have a Bible personally, Merry Christmas. That's for you, okay? We want to encourage you, we want to encourage everybody to have a copy of God's Word. And so, Exodus chapter 3. All right. Everybody comfortable now? All right, good. Let's all stand. Many of you may wonder why we stand, and I just feel it's so important that we show God the proper respect whenever we open up His Word. And I know that, you know, there's nothing spiritual significant about it, that God's not going to bless the service more. If you can stand, great. If not, I understand if, you know, there's complications in it. But, you know, what a better place to be than in the presence of the Lord. And when we come, we want to come with Him in reverence. That's why we do it. And so here we are, Exodus chapter 3, verses 1. And we're going to go all the way up to, I don't know, Revelation, I guess. We'll see. But here we go. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And so he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. And so when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, here's a fascinating thing. And Moses said, here am I. Father, we thank you so much again for your word tonight, and we pray that as we continue to go through it, that you would just once again bring to life what you would desire for us to see, to learn, and that, Lord, as we walk away with more of you, that that would be the truth, that would be the words that we would give to others who don't know you. It's important for us to learn, Lord, and it's important for us to give what we learn, to live it out, to share it, that the message that we declare would be in line with the way that we live. So, Lord, we want to mimic you and not the enemy. We want our lives to demonstrate that we love you. We want our lives to be a light in this dark world. And so there's no way to do that apart from you. We need you. So tonight I pray as we make room for you, that as we understand and know who we are standing before, Lord, we stand here, and I pray that the position of us standing would not take away from the act of just showing reverence and humility, that we know we don't deserve to be in your presence, and yet it's a gift. So thank you, Lord, for that. Now may you minister to our hearts, speak to us, this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, please be seated. So as we pick up in chapter 3, one of the things I want to just briefly kind of share with you is where we're at, kind of pick up a little bit in the story before we move forward. But a couple of the main themes in the last two chapters have been this. You know, chapter 1, we've seen how God's people were oppressed. We've seen the hardships and the cruel treatment that the Egyptians poured out upon them. And of course, it was because of a new Pharaoh and the fact that he was afraid that as the nation of Israel continued to multiply, that they would outnumber the Egyptians. And so he did everything he possibly could to keep them from growing. And it got to the point where he, announced murder on innocent babies. And so this new king, again, had a desire to keep them from multiplying. So we saw all the hardships that God's people were going through. And then in chapter 2, we discovered that there was a preparation time for Israel's deliverer, and his name would be Moses. It's amazing how God spared his life in the beginning as an infant. You know, he became the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and so he escaped that decree of allowing the people of Egypt to take him and kill him and throw him in a river. But he was protected, and now he's living in Herod's palace. And so the first 40 years of his life, he had the best education, he had military training, he had the life of luxury, like he was hooked up, as we would say today, right? He had everything he could possibly imagine. And sure enough, throughout those years of him being there, listen, the book of Hebrews told us that it was by faith that Moses chose to turn away from those pleasures of Egypt, no matter how much they offered satisfaction and the entertainment and whatever that he could fill his little heart with. He chose not to have those pleasures or even indulge in sin, but his heart's desire was to live with his people. And we talked about how his parents instilled those things early in his life, and there's a couple of things I just want to remind us of, and that is this. If you strive after those earthly treasures, if you think everything in this world is worth dying for, striving so much to get more zeros in your bank account or the biggest and, you know, the better house and the bigger car, whatever, all of those things, they're going to disappear. They're never going to bring you the satisfaction that your heart desires. And not only that, but how important it is to keep filling our heart with the Word of God, because, beloved, God's Word will never return void. So as we take it in, it may not blossom immediately, but God has a plan to reveal to you what that meaning is and His perfect timing. Our responsibility is just keep eating on it. And so those first 40 years, again, was luxury for Moses. He was in line to be a future prince. The other thing that we witnessed was that he tried to, you know, help his own people by murdering an Egyptian taskmaster. And then, of course, that caused him to flee to Midian. And then the next 40 years, listen, he spent out in the middle of a desert, from a prince and a life of luxury to now being a shepherd in the desert living in a tent. It told us that he stayed with the priest of Midian, which is Jethro. And of course, even in those times of being out there in 40 years, God blessed him with the family. He married Zipporah, and then he had two sons. And for the 40 years that he was with this man, Jethro, out in this desert, he became a shepherd. And so it was here in these 40 years, this next season in Moses' life, that God would prepare him, listen carefully, for the next 40 years. Now, I don't want you get to get, I don't want any of you to get scared. But how many of you have been praying for something and you haven't gotten an answer? Raise your hand. Okay, let's just realize he worked in 40 increments in Moses' life. He's not going to do that with you. Okay, don't get freaked out. Okay? I believe God will answer your prayers before 40 years, but for whatever reason, 40, and now he's preparing him for the next 40. So listen, Moses is roughly about 80 years old as we get ready to jump into chapter 3. And so as we look at verse 1, it says, now Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro. And one of the things that we need to understand is that word tending means to care for, to provide. His responsibility was to make sure that these sheep got what they needed. And so as he led this flock out in the desert year after year, knowing the land, he decides to go to a different area here. And he says here that it is the backside of the desert, and he came to Horeb, which Moses called the mountain of God. Now, I want us to understand and make sure we know this, that Moses wasn't looking for God. Listen, he was there looking for a good place to bring his flock to eat. And I think many of you recall my story that, you know, when I first came to faith, I went to church, but I went to church for all the wrong reasons. I wasn't looking for God. You guys remember the story? I thought Marisa was fooling around on me, using church as an excuse. So I went to church for all the wrong reasons. And yet, even though Moses wasn't looking for God, this is what's interesting. This same mountain is also known as Mount Sinai. This is the first time that God would reveal himself to Moses, and here he is with a bunch of sheep. But the next time that God will communicate with him, he's still going to be a shepherd, but now he's going to have God's people with him. And this is the very exact location that God would give the Ten Commandments. So this is pretty interesting to see how God is working and preparing him and bringing him to places. And this is what I want us to understand. This is a big area in our walk where sometimes you may feel, I used to hear God's voice very clearly. And then there's a season where you don't hear anything. You ever had that happen to you? And here's my counsel. Go back to the last place where you heard God speak, because he will speak again. And this is what God is revealing to Moses, that he is actually going to bring him back here at a later time. But the next time, he's not going to be tending to sheep. He's going to be tending to God's own people. And so I found that really interesting. But notice this. In verse 2, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush, of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with the fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So here's one of the things that's important for us to see is God himself appears to Moses. And this is actually called, whenever we see this phrase, the angel of the Lord, and that angel is capitalized. This is what we call a theophany. And this is when God appears before man. And there are three different kinds of theophanies here. One is when God manifests himself in a non-human form, like we just read, in a flame, in a bush. Another incident was when the nation of Israel was wandering in the wilderness, the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. God was in them, manifested himself in those things. God also manifested himself as a man. Remember how he spoke to Abraham and basically told him that his wife was going to have a baby while he was 100 years old. You guys remember that story? Sarah was eavesdropping from the tent, listening to the whole conversation. And when the angel said those words, that she was going to have a baby a year from now, she chuckled and laughed. And all of a sudden, it says that the angel called her out. Why did you laugh? Why do you doubt God? God can do anything. And of course, then we ended the chapter or that section with Sarah saying, I didn't laugh. That would be a funny skit, by the way. If you ever want to make one, that would be a good one. But listen, God can appear even as an angel. And there's several different scriptures that you can look at. Exodus chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 15. When God appeared to Solomon in a dream, he appeared to Elijah in that still small voice, that whisper. Another thing that he appeared to Hagar as an angel in Genesis chapter 16, verse 10. Listen, God is God, and he can manifest himself however he chooses to. And the most important thing for us to understand is that God now appears to Moses as a flame of fire in the midst of this burning bush. And this is what I want to encourage us, that God can reveal himself to us in unexpected ways at times. You know, I love when I'm praying about something that nobody else knows. And I want to encourage you to do the same as you're seeking the Lord, as you're praying for specific things, that you would keep it between you and the Lord. And so how do you know if God confirms it by other people when they come up to you and they just say things like, hey, I feel led by the Lord to share this with you, and they have no idea what you've been praying for. They have no idea what you have been asking God. And then all of a sudden they reveal to you that answer that God wants to give you. And this has happened several times as Maurice and I were praying about certain things that nobody else knew about. And it was times like this in a church that God spoke a word through somebody else who had no idea what we were praying about or asking. And so God can confirm those things. He can meet us in unexpected ways. You know, again, God is God and he can do all of these things. It could be a still small voice. Now, I'm not going to go as far to say that God will text you, okay? But I will say this, God can, and he still has the ability to speak. And the greatest way that you're going to hear God's voice, and if you're going to be able to discern whose voice it is by getting into the Word. When you get into the Word, you know God's voice more and more. And so God is getting ready to reveal himself to Moses through this bush. And notice, Moses catches, you know, this bush catches his attention. It says that he, you know, looked, and then it says he behold. And that word behold means to gaze at for a long period of time, to check it out, to look intently. And so as he saw this bush, what was unique? It wasn't that it was just on fire. We see that happen all the time. A bush catching on fire, whatever. But what was so unique is that it was on fire, but yet not being consumed. This is what caught his attention. And sure enough, as he looked, what did he notice? Fire wasn't spreading anywhere. It wasn't falling over. It wasn't disappearing. It wasn't becoming, you know, a big heap of black ash. It kept its form, but yet it still had this powerful flame coming from it. So this was an amazing sight. And he says, hey, I want to go check this out. And this is just natural nature right here. How do I know this? Let me tell you this. When you're going down the street and you see a bunch of people standing around on the street corner, what do? Look. You slow down. What's going on over there? Never mind. I won't go there. Forget it. Let's go on to the study. I was going to talk about COVID, but anyways, never mind. Yeah. Forget it. Yeah. Let it go. Okay. But we're curious people. When we see crowds, we want to know what's going on. We see something interesting. It sparks our attention. Like, boom, we're there. We want to know What is going on? Is there a sale? Do I need some chicken or what? Right? And so he draws near. Now, notice what it says in verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, again, it caught his attention. God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And then Moses replied, and he said, "Here I am." And here's where God calls out to Moses, and he calls his name twice, "Moses, Moses." Now, this is kind of an unusual scene because I don't know about you and how you react to certain things. But if there was a bush that was on fire, being consumed, you know, and not being consumed in front of me, and if I actually gazed at it and then it spoke to me, I do not think I would stand around and go, "What's up?" I think for sure that I would be running fast, right? That's just me. I don't know about you. Maybe you like that, you know, extreme thrill or whatever, but that's kind of creepy. But here is where this dialogue gets really interesting. And there's a beautiful picture that I pray that the Lord would help me develop here. But the very first words that God spoke to Moses just by calling his name was of great significance. Because many times in the Bible, whenever God repeated a name twice, it showed great importance and great significance, that this person was going to do something great. Now, can you imagine how Moses must have felt understanding that about his culture, understanding that about, you know, some of the ways that God would operate, and that would be one of them, that God would literally call his name twice. And why is that interesting? Let me share this with you. Because remember where Moses has been. Remember that in the first 40 years, he was a prince of Egypt. Again, he had all of the best education. He was living that life of luxury. He had it all. And then the next 40 years, it was all gone. Can you imagine spending 40 years in a desert, being one of the most popular people, to now being somewhat of a nobody? Can you imagine how lonely that must have been? Can you imagine how depressing? Can you imagine how many times he thought, "Man, I used to have people cooking for me. Now I have to go out and get my own food. I'm the hunter. I have to wash my own clothes." Before everything was handed to him. And now, listen to this. Not only was it on the backside of a mountain where nobody would have ever found him, not only was he a shepherd for over 40 years now, which was one of the least popular careers of the day, and all of a sudden, here the voice comes, and this is the picture that I want to paint. No matter how far you may think you are from God, he knows exactly where you are. And not only does he know exactly where you are, he knows you by name. And I believe with all my heart, if he were to call out to you, he would say things like, "George, George." And this is a true story. It is so funny. When I started reading this, I'm all like, I used to be called Jerry, Jerry. When I was growing up, I had an uncle. His name was Jerry, so he was Big Jerry. He had a son, and he was Junior, so he was Little Jerry. And then here I come, I'm Jerry Jerry. And I'm all like, "Hey, I'm special." No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. But God knows where you're at. And you might think nobody else cares, nobody sees, but God does. God knows exactly where you're at. God knows exactly what you're feeling. God knows everything that's going on in your life, and you are still significant when you may not think you are. Here's what I want you to understand. You matter to God. You matter. And so sure enough, as God spoke out to him, yet Moses didn't quite know who it was yet. And he says these words, Moses, Moses, calls his name. And then Moses responds with, here I am. And that is pretty interesting to think that he must have been out in the desert for a long time to talk to a bush, right? But notice what it says in verses 5-6. Then he, speaking of God, said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So here, as this conversation now continues, God not only responds, but he gives Moses some instructions, and then he reveals to him who's talking to him. And this is what I want us to see. God warning him, don't draw near to this place. In other words, stop where you're at. Don't come any closer. Why would God keep him from coming closer? Again, when we look at the Old Testament, we look at the scriptures, there was always a distance between God and man because of all of the sinful things that man has done. So there was no way that a person could literally come that close to God. But yet, as God warned him not to come any closer, this is what he tells him. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy. Now, it wasn't the mountain that was holy or this exact desert area that was holy. So why would God say it's a holy place? And the answer is, it's because of his presence. God was there. And sure enough, as a sign of taking off one sandal, what was the significance of it? It showed a great amount of humility and respect and reverence, kind of like what I shared about us standing before we read the Word of God. Having the proper position or understanding and knowing that if we're standing before God, that he does deserve the respect. And so Moses, not only is he knowing who this voice is, or he's getting ready to hear who this voice is, as he hears, take off your sandals, this place is holy, God now reveals who he is, and he says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. In other words, Moses, what's getting ready to go down right now? You're not seeing anything weird. I'm not a new God here. This is who I am. And what does he say? I am the same God. Listen carefully. Who spoke to Abraham. I am the same God who was there for Isaac. I was the same God that wrestled with Jacob. I am the same God that your parents told you about. That's who I am. So everything that Moses ever heard about the prophets and all of these things, and now even from his parents, and that voice that is now speaking to him is the very God who he heard about. And as a matter of fact, as the book of Hebrews says, because of faith, because he knew God that closely, listen, this is what's amazing to me. It is the same God who brought conviction into his heart, not to enjoy the luxuries of Egypt, but willing to suffer the affliction of his people. So this is the same God, and he says, this is who I am to you. And what I love about this is, notice when Moses heard these words of who this voice belonged to, notice what he did. It says that he hid his face. Not only did he hide his face, but now it says that he was afraid to even look up, that he was afraid to even take a glance at that bush anymore. What drew him there now face down, looking downward. And this whole image was a reflection of humility. Again, having that proper position before the Lord. If we can take note of this, when it says that he hid his face, this is a sign of somebody who knows that they don't deserve to be in God's presence. You know, I don't know if Moses was wondering, if I'm standing before God, is this judgment day for me? I killed the man. I did a lot of different things that were wrong. Was it that fearful? That kind of putting my head down? Could be. But I also know this, that whenever we do see God's presence come before people, that natural position would be face first to the ground out of reverence. And this is where Moses is at. So not only does he now acknowledge who he's standing before, but he puts his head down. And again, in a demonstration of humility, knowing and understanding that he had no right being in front of God's presence. So now that he knows what's going on, notice verse 7 to 9. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land, from that land, to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites. If I said that correctly, I'm not sure. And then the Hivites and the Jebusites and all of these other parasites, right? And then he says in verse 9, Now therefore behold the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. So now as God appears before Moses, God reveals to him what he has seen and what he has heard. And in verse 7, it said very clearly, I've seen the oppression that is upon my people. And not only have I witnessed how bad they're being treated, I know my people are suffering. I know they've experienced great pain and misery and persecution from the Egyptians. I've seen it. And I've also heard their cries when their taskmasters are beating them. I've listened to their prayers as they've gone up into the air. So what does God reveal next for Moses? So not only have I seen, not only have I heard, but now God says, I have come to deliver. I will be the one, in verse 8, to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. I will be the one to remove this hardship and bring them to a land of their own. Notice throughout verse 8 how many times God says he is the one that is going to do this. I will bring them out of Egypt. I will bring them to a good and large land. And when it says a land flowing with milk and honey, this phrase speaks a land that is beautiful, that is productive. In other words, whatever you plant will grow. You will have plenty of it. There'll be an overabundance of it. You know, one of the things that was pretty fascinating in the Philippines, like, you can get a banana anywhere because they just grow no matter where you're at in the Philippines. But this land that God would bring them to, setting them free from the slavery to now a place that is beautiful, a place where they would not need to worry about produce. And of course, this land was occupied by all of the tribes in that area. But all of these tribes, even God would be the one to help remove them so that they would have their own land. Again, all of this in verse 8, God would do. Now, can you imagine Moses' reaction after hearing that? Let me hear from you. What do you think what was going through Moses' mind at that time? Was he bummed out? What do you think? You could speak. Come on, people. Talk to me. It gets lonely up here. What was that?
Yes.
Was he happy? Okay. Was he excited? I mean, think about this. Your own people suffering for a long time. You've seen it. You've witnessed it. You've even heard some of the cries of the people. And for 40 years, can you imagine how many times they prayed for God to deliver them? And now all of a sudden, God speaks up and he says, I'm going to go. I'm going to come down. I'm going to take care of this. Yes, God's going to do some business. God's going to take care of those who have been messing with his people. Moses was probably super excited because when he tried it, it failed. But when God says he'll do it, beloved, it will come to pass. So can you imagine the excitement of hearing, yes, thank you, Lord. It's about time, right? God's going to do all of this. And after hearing this, I could just picture him smiling, fist up in the air. Yes, God, thank you for doing this. Now, let's read verse 10 to 12. And all of a sudden here, it turns. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now can you imagine his face? The fist up in the air to like, what? Did I hear you right? You want me to go? I don't think I hear you, Lord. I can imagine the joy all of a sudden turned to serious. God says, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And I want you to see this. Excitement to like wondering, like what? Like, how is this possible? Moses replies in verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I to stand against Pharaoh? And you know what? This statement is true. Who is he? Nobody. When it comes to who the nation of Egypt was, the most powerful empire at that time, how could one man do anything? And so sure enough, not only did Moses know what was ahead and all the military and all the strengths that they had, he would be no match for them. And sure enough, this is where Moses made his mistake because he forgot all that God said in verse 8, that God would do this. And the beauty of verse 10 was that God was going to bring him alongside of him and do it with him. And in verse 12, notice what it says here. And God told Moses, so he said, I will certainly be with you. And I would encourage you, underline that. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God. Where? On this mountain. So here's where God speaks up and he tells Moses, listen, calm down, don't freak out, because I will certainly be with you. You see, God didn't say, I'm going to send some angels before you. God didn't say he was going to give them an army to conquer over Egypt. God said it himself, I will be with you. I will use you. I will be there to help you bring my people out from the land of Egypt. And so no longer was God wanting him to be a shepherd for his father-in-law. God was now giving Moses the calling in his life to be his shepherd, to be the shepherd over his people. And beloved, I want to go ahead and stop here because this is what I want us to see. Just as powerfully as God is getting ready to use Moses to deliver his people, do you realize that there's some similarities for us here today in what God desires of us? Because I believe, listen, you know, I believe all of us at some point may feel like, who am I that I would ever be able to do anything for the Lord? Why would God choose me? Or why, how could I even be used by God? If he knows who I am, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't really want to use me. But can I reassure you of this? God knows exactly who you are. And in the same way that God spoke out to Moses, he's speaking out to you today. And God knows everything about you, and God knows your name. And God has a desire to give you your own specific calling the way that he did to Moses. And this is what I love about the gospel, because I've heard too many people say, I need to clean myself up before I can come to God. And that's the exact worst thing that you could ever do, because you'll never clean yourself up. You can't clean yourself up. What God wants you to do is just come as you are. He's the one that cleans you up. And this is the other thing that I pray that you would see. Notice he didn't call out to God in a church service. He was out in a desert, out in one of the most probably least places that you would ever imagine. And one of the things that I pray that you would realize, that God has the ability to speak to you anywhere, even in that, you know, where you may think is the furthest part away from God, God still has the ability to speak to you. If you've never read Psalm 139, I want to encourage you, read it. Because that whole chapter speaks of how near God is to you. I pray that you would realize no matter where you go, you are never out of God's reach. And he has the capability of speaking into your heart. But in the same way that he called out to Moses, I believe that today he's calling out to some of us in this room today. And you know what I'm excited about? Is that in these last several weeks, I don't know about you, but I've been amazed at how God is moving and bringing conviction into hearts, and people are making confessions of faith. In these last couple of weekends, we've probably seen close to about 20 to 25 people give their heart to the Lord. And God is moving, and when God calls, God stirs. All he's asking us is to respond to it. And as you come as you are, this is what he does best. He takes you as you are, and then he begins to reveal who he is to you. And in the same way that he says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that same God is now desiring to speak more and be more involved in your life. It's not a new God. He is and he will always be the one and only true God. And that who has a desire to speak into your life. It is the same God who has a desire to show you what his plans are. He told Moses very clearly as he appeared to him, this is who I am. This is what I've seen. This is what I've heard. Here's my plan. You're a part of it. It's time to get busy and go. That's Moses' commission. But now my question is, what about you? Because each and every one of us has a specific calling, and this weekend, it is so important that I would take the time to ask for your prayers, because there are about 82 students who are attending the Just Go conference in Mexico. And these are all high school students, young adults, who have a desire to know what their calling is in God. You know, what does God want of them? And as we have an opportunity to invest and to direct them to God's heart and watch what God will do in their lives. You know, it's pretty amazing what God can do. You know, sometimes people wonder, or this testimony blows people away, because many churches send people to Mexico on mission trips. It's a third world country. I get it. They go to some of the poorest areas and they go to help be a blessing to people. But look at how powerful God is, that he would take a small church in Tijuana, Mexico, and send them to North Africa to be missionaries. That's pretty uncommon. But again, with God, nothing's impossible. Some people might scratch their head and go, this is a church from Mexico. How did they get the funds? We got a big God. They don't even know the language. Neither do you, and you go to Mexico. I go to Mexico. I don't even speak Spanish. I just walk around and play the part. I do. I know how to ask for some tacos. The important thing. I've gone to places where I don't, in the Philippines, we didn't know the language. But it was all God. And that's my point tonight, because if we don't understand the depth of what God wants to do, then we're going to miss out on being used by God. And let me give you one more encouragement before I invite the worship team up. If you have come into this place and you say, you know, I just don't hear from God. I don't know what God wants of me. And I want to challenge you with this. The only way that you're going to find out is when you yourself are getting into God's word and really seeking after him. Not reading his word because you have to. Not reading because it's the right thing to do, but reading because you want to know his heart. How many of you have ever spent hours and hours trying to figure out how to do something on YouTube? You watch 20 different videos on how to clean your computer, or you got a virus and you want to get it off of your computer. You will sit down and watch as many videos as it takes. You're seeking, you're searching for a solution. But when was the last time that we actually were seeking after God in that way? When was the last time that we actually set aside and said, I don't want to let anything distract me, and I just want to give it to the Lord? You know, a good way that people miss out on hearing from the Lord is, one, they're not getting into the word. Number two, when they come into God's presence, they don't come with reverence. They don't come with the attitude, I'm getting ready to meet with God. Oh man, when I was dating Marisa, man, it'd take me like 3 hours to get ready just to see her. I had a little bit more hair then, so I had to blow dry it. Right? But how about you? When you were going out on a date, how long did it take you to get ready to go see that person that you loved, that you admired? Oh man, 3-4 hours. You got to have your curling iron, your flat iron, your hairspray, 6 different outfits to try on because you just don't know which one you like best. You were so excited and you did all of these things. Went out and bought some brand new shoes. You were so excited to be in their presence. You did all of this. When was the last time you did that to come to church? When was the last time that you actually came excited knowing that you're going to meet with Jesus? Because I'll tell you right now, transparency, on Sunday mornings, and I get tonight, it's a little bit more challenging to get here on time, but there are a lot of people who come strolling into the church, no big deal, 10 minutes late, oh, the service hasn't really started yet, they're still singing. They come into the church and, you know, they come in and they plot themselves down, and then as soon as they sit down and I open up and I'm stretching out one verse, and they're looking at their watch. Oh man, pastor's going to go long today. And sometimes I see it in the faces. And I just want to give you a little piece of advice. When I see that, I go longer. But when was the last time that you were that excited? Because I guarantee that if we knew Jesus was going to be here in physical form on a Sunday, I think all of us would be on time. I think all of us would sing a little louder. I think all of us would raise our hands. God's not looking for fans. He's looking for followers. And if you haven't quite heard from God, maybe it's because there's a lack of reverence when you enter into his presence. Maybe it's because you aren't giving him that proper respect that he truly deserves. Okay, God, you got 5 minutes. If you don't speak to me, I got to go. And I get it. I run late too. And I'm not preaching at you. This is for all of us. Because I could get so busy, I could get so distracted, that I get pulled away from just enjoying being in his presence. And I want to challenge us tonight, beloved, because God wants to call you two times, whatever your name is, George, whatever. He wants to call you because you're significant to him. You matter to him. And because you matter to him, he has something special for you. But if you're not coming with that heart of expectation, if you're not coming with a willingness to let God just completely speak into your heart, and when he does speak, I want to encourage you, in the same way that he promised Moses, whatever I ask of you, I'm going to be with you. That is the same promise for each and every one of us today. So no matter what it is, if God is calling you to do something, he will enable you to do it. And he will give you more than just the ability to do it. You'll do it with so much joy in your heart that people will see a person that is so in love with Jesus. And I want to challenge us tonight with this, because again, notice the age of Moses. 80 years old when God finally revealed this amazing task. And then it would be another 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. So just because we're getting a little bit older in age doesn't mean that God's done with us. All of us play a part. All of us still have something that God wants to do. If we still have breath in our lungs, it's time for us to praise the Lord. And so tonight, I want to leave you with this. God may be giving you a specific call, and you don't have to fear, because he will be with you. All he's asking you to do is walk in obedience. And if you don't quite know exactly how that looks and how it'll work out, listen, God may not tell you everything up front. Most of the time, he doesn't. But he will speak, and he will take you from point A to point B. And when it's time to go to C, he'll give you what you need to go to C. And when you finally get there, he'll tell you where to go to D. He'll keep doing it all the way, leading you into eternity, because that's his promise. And so I hope and pray that tonight we would let the Lord do that, that we would remember that he's called us, that we would remember that as we come before him, we are super blessed that we could be in his presence, but come with the heart of gratitude. Come and give God his proper respect. It's time for the church today to show that proper reverence for the Lord. I understand some people may say, well, he's my friend or he's my homie. I understand that those are cultural terms, but can I just remind you of this? It may sound cool, but we're never to lessen God's name. Yes, he's your friend, but he's also your Savior. He is also your Lord. And so we want to give him that proper respect and due. And when we come in here, I pray that all of us, for the time that we're here, remember that God wants to meet with you, that God wants to speak into your heart as much as he does mine. And God wants to show you more of what he has for you in store. But if you come into this place and your heart is closed, he's not going to force his way into your heart. We need to be willing. And that's why I want to encourage you, get here on time. What's the big deal? Worship prepares your heart to receive the word. And when you receive the word, and if God is ministering to your heart, it draws you back to worship him. Not just in song, but when you leave this place. You live in a way that reflects your love to him. So tonight, I want to encourage us with that. And I want to invite the worship team to come on up. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much again for tonight. And I want to ask, Lord, that you would help us all. Lord, as we have seen tonight in your word that you called Moses for a specific purpose. God, you have a desire to do that for each and every one of us here. And as you call out our name, I pray, God, that once again we would listen, that our hearts would be open to receive, and that, Lord, we would walk in obedience. We would not make excuses, but we would hold on to the very truth that you will be with us no matter what that calling is. So I thank you. I pray that tonight you would just continue to minister and work in our hearts. And if there are any things right now deep within us that are hindering us from hearing you, from walking with you, that once again you would help us cut those things off, that you would help us put them to death. So God, may we have a heart that is set apart for you. God, we love you. And we want to give you this night. And so continue to mold and shape us into your image. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, as we worship the Lord tonight, I'm going to be off on the side along with Pastor Guy. And if any of you need any prayer, we want to invite you to come on up. We don't want you to leave this place without getting some prayer. We want to be able to minister to you, and God will continue to minister to us as we worship him and as you meditate on the things that we covered tonight. I know God's got some amazing things that he wants to do in us. So please, don't let this time get by you.